I want to talk a little bit about intentions to sin and the relationship between when a maisa is actually done and the intentions to do that maisa. Something I always thought about was the whole phenomenon of attempted murder and actual murder. You know, in the United States, I think the average sentence for murder is 25 years, is the average sentence for murder. But attempted murder, the average sentence is around 7 to 9 years, which is very strange because seemingly there's really no difference between the attempted murderer and the murderer. You pulled the trigger. If you have a good shot, you get 25 years. If you have a bad shot, so you get only 7 to 9 years. So why is that true in the American legal system? Obviously, they're not just looking at the intention of the perpetrator, but they're also looking at the totsah of what actually happened and the impact it has on the family and the impact it has on the person. That's all cheshbon in terms of how to punish the person. Or perhaps there are other cheshbonos in the legal system. So what would halacha have to say about that? How do we look at someone who attempts to do a sin and does the sin? Someone who attempts to do a sin and doesn't do the sin. In terms of the rishas hagavra, seemingly it's just as much rishas if you try to kill someone and then you actually kill someone. If it was the same trigger that was pulled. In America, it's actually interesting. They're machalic between if you use a gun or if you use something else. I guess a gun, if you pull the trigger with a gun, so there isn't such a big difference that if you pull the trigger with a gun and you kill them or not. But sometimes it will depend on the weapon of choice. You know, it's like a clue game. You know, if you use the candlestick in the conservatory, so it's not as serious as you use the gun in the kitchen, apparently. So let's take a look at that. And it really, the springboard, the reason I wanted to talk about it was a pasuk in this week's Parsha. We're told in the very beginning of the Parsha that the halachos of hafaras nedarim, that sometimes a woman might take a neder, and depending on what type of neder it is, and then depending on her age and her marriage, different people have the ability to be made for her neder, to uproot or to nullify her neder. The pasuk tells us, a strange pasuk when you think about it, and Rashi tells us that we should be thinking about it, but he's really just quoting Chazal. We're told that if her father or her husband, depending on the situation, hear her take a vow and then nullify the vow, the Hashem yislach lo, Hashem will give her slicha, will give her kapara. Why? Because her father or her husband nullified her vow. What's this talking about? If the vow is nullified, first of all, what did she do wrong? She took, maybe because she took a vow and ended up getting nullified anyway, so she needs kapara, Hashem yislach lo, Hashem, she needs kapara. What does she need kapara for? What did she do wrong? So Rashi notes that this strange expression, Hashem yislach lo, he's really quoting from the Sifri, it's a Gemara in Nazir, a Braisa in Nazir. Hashem yislach lo b'mea kosev medaber. What is the situation referring to? Be'isha shenadra bin Nazir, a woman took upon herself to be a Nazir. Her husband heard that she wants to be a Nazir, a Nazira. She can't drink wine, she can't become Tamei L'Meisim. The husband doesn't want his wife to be in such a situation. Right? They want to bench out the coast. They want to, you know, pass the kosher bracha around. He wants her to be able to taste from the kosher bracha. So what happens? The husband comes and he's made for the neder. But here's the trick here, or here's the kicker in this case. She doesn't know that her husband was made for the neder. So what does she do? She goes out and drinks wine. She has a crazy night. She drinks wine and she goes and becomes Tamei L'Meisim. And now what happens? Well, nothing, seemingly, because she didn't do anything wrong. She didn't realize, but she really wasn't in the Zira. So, she didn't do anything wrong. And yet the pasuk tells us, Hashem yislach lo. And Rashi ends, quoting from the Sifri, if people who, there was really a hafara, need kapara, and they didn't even sin, halachas kama v'kama, those of us who actually do sin, how much of a kapara that we need. And this is really a Gemara in Nazir. It's commenting on a Mishnah. The Mishnah says that if a woman, in this situation, if a woman takes a vow, her husband or her father nullify the vow. And, well, really her husband. Her husband nullifies the vow. And she sins. She doesn't get Malchus. Oh, but she had a bad Kavana. Right, she had bad Kavana. But she doesn't get Malchus. Comments the Braisa on that Mishnah. In a Hanami, she doesn't get Malchus. But don't think that she's not a sinner. Tanarabonan Isha with a dot in the hay. Her husband was Mayfir. Fashem Yislachla. Isha Shahifir La Baila. Vihilo Yada Kasav Medaber. That she needs Kapara and Slicha. And when Rabbi Akiva used to get to this pasuk, he used to cry. Why? He would say, wow, Mishin is kaven, someone who has kavanah to eat basar chazir. They want to eat pork. The olav yado basar tlech. And not knowingly, they think that they're having a pig sandwich. They really get a lamb sandwich. They don't know the difference. They haven't eaten pig before. It tastes a lot like lamb chops. So they eat the sandwich. If such a person is towing kapara v'slicha, so imagine a person who's actually miskaving to eat basar chazir, and then they do eat basar chazir, alachas kama v'kama. And Rabbi Akiva is commenting on all of us, that we sometimes have kavanah to sin, and our kavanah follows through, and we actually do go ahead and sin, premeditated sin. Alachas kama v'kama, what a punishment there will be in such a situation. The Gemara in Kiddushin started a few minutes late, so I'm not going to read through the cold case inside, but the Gemara in Kiddushin, Pei Aleph Amud Beis, tells us a very interesting story about Rabbi Chiya Bar Ashi. It's interesting. I remember Rabbi Kamenetsky, Rabbi Yossi Kamenetsky, when I was in high school. So he was my Rebbe in NC Swakola in ninth grade, and we were learning Kiddushin, if I remember correctly. And where we commented on Gemaras in Kiddushin. I don't remember what Masechta we were learning per se. But he commented how the Masechta in Kiddushin tells lots of stories about big Rabbanim, seemingly. One of them is named Chasida, is his title associated with him. And the Gemara is very open about sins that they did, that we would be very embarrassed if such stories were being told about us. And yet, this is the what it's teaching us, that even great people have Yetzirah, and the person has to be careful. Ad Yom Moso, that a person has to be careful with the situations that they put themselves in. So we're told here about Rabbi Chiya Bar Ashi, that every time he used to go down to say Tachnun, he used to always say, Hashem should save me from the Yetzirah. Now his wife once heard him davening, and his wife thought this was a strange thing for him to be saying, because they hadn't been together with marital relations in a number of years. She always associated it with the fact that he was older and he didn't have the same koach that he had when he was younger. But here he's davening every day, adding in, Hashem, please save me from my Yetzirah. So she started getting a little nervous. Like, what, he has such a big Yetzirah? I mean, if he has such a big Yetzirah, how come we haven't been together in a marital way in many, many years? So she decided that she was going to test him. So she dresses all up and dresses all fancy, and he's learning. Remember, this is an Amora. He's sitting and learning in the backyard, and she passes by all beautified with perfumes and makeup. And this is like a real, Avram and Sarah situation. He didn't know so well what his wife looked like, or she was dressed up really differently than he was used to. Maybe his vision wasn't so great, and they didn't have glasses back then. So she walks by, and he asks who she is, and she says that she's this Zona, well-known Zona. She just got back from a trip, and he solicits her. He gives her, he wants to hire her services, and she says, okay, climb up the tree and get me something to pay me with, pomegranate, and he goes up. So they end up doing the sin, and it seems, and some Mefarshim say that he didn't, but the Pashto says that he did the sin. He comes home, and he sees his wife. Now he sees his wife, and she's in the kitchen, and she's cooking, and he jumps into the oven. She says, what are you doing? And he says, he comes clean. He says, I have to tell you, I had relations with his owner. I had an affair. And she says, it was me. And he says, I don't believe you. So she talks about what happened, and he realizes that it was really her. But that doesn't calm him down. And the Gemara says that for the rest of his life, he sat betanis until he died a very, very painful death. And it quotes our Gemara here in Nazir, our pasuk in this week's parsha, Isha Feiram v'Hashem Yislach Lo. Because even though he didn't sin, it was his wife. But because he had kavana to sin, so the Gemara assumes, and he assumed, that there's a punishment associated with this, because even for a bad kavana, an attempted sin, even if you don't actually sin, so even for a machshava ra, we're punished. That's the story that you get from the pasuk here in Matos, the Sifri, the Gemara in Nazir, the Gemara in Kiddushin. Good? Seems very clear, I hope. However, there is another Gemara in Kiddushin, a little bit earlier in the Masechta, Daf Lamed Tes, where, I don't know if I would call it a stira, but there's certainly something to think about. This is a famous Gemara. very famous because it's that end of first parak of Kiddushin. People like to learn, and it's also a Gemara about Acher, about one of the suggestions of why Elisha ben Abuya went off the Derech. The Gemara there tells us it has a skewer between a Braisa and a Mishnah. Wants to figure out who's the author of the Braisa. So one suggestion is that it's Rav Yaakov who holds that there's no schar in this world. We don't get schar for things in this world. We get schar loss of Rabba. What's his proof? So the Gemara says, oh, you know how I know? Because what would you say about a boy who goes up a tree or up a ladder because his father asked him to bring him some eggs to make an omelet? He goes up the ladder, so he's doing the mitzvah of Kibbut Avaim, which is one of those mitzvahs that were promised long life. And what does he do when he gets to the top of the ladder? He shoos away the mother bird, takes the eggs. Just did another mitzvah, Shiluach HaKein. That's another one of those mitzvahs that you're promised long life. On the way down, what happens to the boy? He trips on the ladder, falls down to his death. What happened to his long life that the Torah promised? So Rav Yaakov from here brings a raya. It must be that schar is not given out in this world. All schar is lost at level. Asks the Gemara. Well, that's a very nice story if it happened. But maybe no story like that ever happened. It doesn't say that there was a story. It says, what would you say about a boy? If you look at the Gemara says, Lamed Tes, the first Gemara, Hare she'amru lo aviv. Well, behold, someone who said to this. So the Gemara asks, maybe the story never happened. The Gemara responds, no, Rav Yaakov saw the story. He wasn't making up the story. He saw the story. It happened. So says the Gemara, how do you know, though, that the reason he fell was because there's no schar in this world? Maybe while he was climbing, he was actually scheming to do a sin. He had a machshava ra. He had a scheme to do some type of sin. So the Gemara responds, that wouldn't be an explanation for why he fell and died. Because machshava ra in HaKadosh Baruch Hu mitzarf al ha-maisa. HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not connect, literally, a machshava ra to a maisa ra. It's one thing to do an aveira, it's another thing to think about doing an aveira, about planning to do an aveira. But they're not the same thing. So that can't be the reason that he fell and died. So the Gemara goes on and tries to come up with other suggestions to deflect this raya for Rav Yaakov. But let's stop there. What does it sound like from this Gemara? What does it sound like? Kavanas are not so punishable. Certainly not punishable enough to account for him falling down and dying. So we started with a bunch of makaros that imply it doesn't really matter if you do the maisa. What's important is what were you thinking? If you planned to do the maisa, it doesn't matter if you killed. If you pulled the trigger, you're just as bad. Hashem yislachla. But the story here in Kiddushin says that the reason the boy died is not because he was planning to do an aveira. You don't die for planning to do an aveira. So the way I'm saying it, I'm already trying to give you a little bit of an indication. What's a simple way to work out this stirum?
The mice in the first Gemara, he thought that the mice itself was an aveira, but the Shiluach HaKein, he thought that he was going to do but he ended up doing the mitzvah.
What do you mean? Oh, you're saying you're assuming that he was thinking to do an aveira?
Even if he was, by the time he got to the top, what he did was a mitzvah. He didn't think that the aveira itself was.
You're saying here the end result that he did a mitzvah, and then the Gemara's over there, he ended up doing a mitzvah. Okay.
You can meet some such thing, maybe.
Oh, so that's one answer. Excellent. One answer, I would say, is maybe there's just a question of levels here. Meaning, when you have kavanah to do an aveira, it's bad. Hashem yislach lo, you need kapara. But it's not as bad as having done the actual aveira. What does the Gemara in Kiddushin say? The Gemara in Kiddushin just says, we don't consider the machshava like the maisa. That doesn't mean that the machshava is not bad. So it could be that there's no stira. The Gemara in Nazir says that if a woman, let's talk about, someone wants to eat basar chazir, and he ends up eating basar tleh, so he did a bad thing. But it's not the same thing as having eaten basar chazir. And if we plug it into the Gemara in Kiddushin, what the answer, the Gemara in Kiddushin wasn't saying that's not a big deal if you think to do an aveira. What was the Gemara just saying? It's not enough to have him die. That's not a good explanation of the story for why he died. We're not saying it's not an aveira. We're just not saying it's not a bad enough aveira. So that could be one way to work it out. Oh, good. So, excellent. So this was a good suggestion, but it's not the one that the Gemara seems to suggest itself. What do I mean the Gemara suggests itself? The Gemara in Kiddushin on the next Amud elaborates a little bit more on this concept of Machshava Ra Ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mitzarfa L'Maisa. And the Gemara says, it's the fourth source on the sheet, Machshava Tova Mitzarfa L'Maisa. HaKadosh Baruch Hu counts it. Go down two more lines. Machshava Ra Ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mitzarfa L'Maisa. Shenemar Avon Im Ra'isi Belibi Lo Yishma Hashem. If there's a sin in my heart, Hashem doesn't listen to that. What about the pasuk that says that Hashem says, I'm going to bring punishment on this nation. I'm going to pay them commensurate to the thoughts that were inside their hearts. So the Gemara Darshan's machshavosam, their machshavos. So the Gemara Darshan's the word pre. Machshava she'osa pre, Kadosh Baruch Mitzar Palamaisa. Machshava she'ein ba pri, a machshava that actually produces fruits, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu is mitzar fo lamaisa. But a machshava that doesn't produce fruits, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not mitzar fo lamaisa. So, what is the Gemara here saying? The Gemara is clarifying for us what it meant when it said, Hashem doesn't count the machshava raw as a maisa. When does Hashem not count the machshava raw as a maisa? When you don't do anything. Meaning, just planning. Sitting in your house, and looking up the floor plan of the museum, and figuring out where the sewers are, so that you and your team can sneak in, steal the Mona Lisa, get out through the sewer system, get out before the guards are there, and you're already, you know, you're already on your vacation boat. All the planning and scheming. I've never watched the movie, by the way. All the planning and the scheming. That's not a sin, but if you act on it, you try, you fail, but you try. Then it's actionable. That's what the Gemara in Kiddushin on the next Amud says when it's clarifying this idea of Machshava Ra. So, based on that, how would we work out this quote-unquote stira? The Pasuk in Matos, the Gemara in Nazir, which says that a woman needs kapara if she sinned, if someone's niskavin lecho basar chazir v'ola biyado basar tleh. In that situation, why do you need kapara? Because you didn't just plan. You planned, and you acted on your plan. There are plenty of people right now sitting in somewhere in the world that are Googling how to build a bomb, how to rob a bank, how to do this, but they're planning and planning and planning, and they never act on it. That is the Gemara in Kiddushin. Even if the boy was climbing, and while he was climbing, he was really scheming how to rob a bank, and how to rape a woman, and how to steal, and how to do this, and how to do that. He had all the worst machshavos in the world, but he never acted on them. And Ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mitzar Fo Lamaisa. It's actually a little bit Meduyuk in Rashi. If you look at Rashi, I know you can say the Rashi the other way also, but take a look at the Rashi. I put it in parentheses in the first source. The Dilma Osa Shah Mehayer Ba Veirahaya. Look what Rashi says. Yeah, you with me? You see where I'm reading? What does it say? Yeah, good. Lohaya Libo L'Shamayim. He didn't really have good intentions. Umishane Machshava Ra Umaisa Lo Asa. If you have a machshava ra, but you don't do a maisa, so then HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't hit you with a punishment. The lohaya lelakos, and therefore he shouldn't have been punished in this situation. So this is the way that I would think we should present things, that machshava ra's are sometimes punishable, that's the Gemara Nazir, but only if you acted on it. The question that I'd really like to deal with is, well, what's the difference? What does it make a difference if I act on it or if I don't act on it? I had a machshava ra. Are machshava ra's punishable or are they not punishable? So what would you say? What's the difference? What's the first thing that comes to your mind? Why? What should be the difference if you acted on it or if you didn't act on it?
If you didn't act on it, there's tshuva.
There's what?
Tshuva.
There's tshuva? What do you mean there's tshuva? You could still do tshuva?
If you plan on doing something, then you're not going to do it.
You say, maybe something held you back, and therefore that indicates what? What?
You didn't actually do it.
Oh, maybe it indicates that your machshava wasn't really as starkum of a machshava as we thought. Meaning, maybe we could be machalik as follows. There's a question here of level of machshava. Maybe, really, machshava ra is punishable. But there's a threshold of how much machshava ra you need to have. There's low-level machshava ra. Everybody once in a while has a crazy thought. Every once in a while, I mean, I hope every once in a while, I every once in a while have a crazy thought. People every once in a while have a crazy thought. But there's crazy bad thoughts, and then there's really crazy bad thoughts. How do we know the difference? So maybe one way we know the difference is, did you act on it? If you acted on it, that might be the litmus test to know, was there a real machshava ra, like with a capital resh, or was just a machshava ra? This is what we would sometimes call, or let me ask you like this, what then is the machayev? In the case of the nazir, or the woman who's a nazir, or the case of the guy who's miskaven nachol baser chazir v'ol v'yadol baser tzled, what was the machayev when he acted? The machshava, exactly. So, what was the maisa then? The maisa is the indicator, that's right. We sometimes talk about, in lamdos, we talk about the difference between a siba and a simen. Is it the cause of the chiyuv? Or is it an indication in order to be mechayev me? Here, I'm not being punished for the maisa, because the maisa wasn't a maisa iser. I ate basar tleh, I ate lamb's meat. But the maisa of eating the lamb's meat was a simen that I really had a very bad machshava. It was so bad and so sophisticated and so thought out and so internalized that I actually acted on it. This is the suggestion that the Truma Sakri, this is what he suggests in this sugya, that the mechayev here is the machshava, but there are machshavas and there are machshavas. The Gemara Nazir is talking about a machshava, a high-grade, high-level machshava, where your kavana is really to do the sin and you actually acted. And the Gemara in Kiddushin is at least talking about a possibility where he never acted and we don't know. Yeah, it's the Nahakdama Osches.
And also, that's very similar to the Rambam Posach.
You mean the Shir? That's not real, it's a... until you go ahead and actually act on it, it's Megala, right, right. So that's the direction of the Truma Sakri, yeah.
But the kid in the ladder in Kiddushin Mem, he fell off. So even if his machshava ra was so bad that it would have come to action,
he never got a chance to do it.
Yeah.
So that's actually interesting hara, because the hara I would have on the Truma Sakri in general also, and maybe help me with this, is we're not talking about based in punishing. We're talking about a Kadosh Baruch Hu being a tzarfa l'maisa. Doesn't a Kadosh Baruch Hu, by the losach mode, we're talking about does he get malchus or not? So based in needs to be able to determine how much chemdat halev there was in order to know is it actionable and punishable. But here we're talking about does he need kapara? Is a Kadosh Baruch Hu mitzarfa l'maisa? I'm taking your question, but just flipping and saying my own words, which is why does a Kadosh Baruch Hu need a simin to tell me if he had it? If he had enough, he had enough. If he didn't have enough, he didn't have enough.
It's not meant to be an indication test, but there is a type of kavana that is the type of kavana that leads to action, and there's a type of kavana that doesn't.
And you're saying that, and until you actually do an action, so we don't know what type of kavana it was.
Not because we don't know, but because these are practically they're just names for the two levels of kavana. Either you have the type of kavana that is this intense, and that's called kavana that could bring to life,
You're such a halachic man. You're saying like it's like the tzchuni banai. Like we got a Kadosh Baruch Hu, because now once we created the halachic categories, so that just becomes the reality. And if you never acted on it, that's not a pi halacha. That's not a machshava which is actionable. Right? You're saying that's not a machshava that can be punished if you didn't act on it. Even if Hashem knows what his kavana was, but that's not the halacha.
No. The Matthias is that if you have the type of machshava that Hashem is going to punish for, regardless of the action, Hashem knows how intense your kavana is. If you have that type of kavana, then you're not going to get punished, and practically, that less intense kavana is never going to bring to action.
Okay. And then you have to start saying in the Gemara and Kiddushin that's just the suggestion, is that L'chora there, we don't necessarily know. Rav Yaakov can't bring a raya from that kid. You have to, like, cheshbon it then into the Gemara and Kiddushin, right?
Which one is that?
That's the Gemara with Rav Yaakov bringing the raya from the boy falling from the ladder. Then in that case, we just have to assume that maybe he didn't, because we suggest maybe he had a machshava ra, and the answer has to be he didn't have that type of machshava ra.
If there's a machshava ra, it has to be something about Shiloh Hakin. Otherwise, it would be a totally separate chesed. He would be zohar this, and then the machshava ra would be about something else. But if the machshava ra is about Shiloh Hakin, then at the end of the day, if his kavanah was to mess up the Shiloh Hakin or something, because to do the Shiloh Hakin with any kavanah, he'd be doing mitzvah.
I want to dawn on it more. Let's talk about it afterwards. I'm going to go on to look, quick, because I want to go on. There's a different mahalach I want to tell you.
How do you qualify this different? This okay, what is sort of the resources involved? Does it mean
intentions were bad? But you yourself said that. Mike, if you didn't do it, it shows us if you really, really had a real plan to do it, so you would figure out a way to do it.
I hear.
You know, I'm gonna suggest the nafka mina in a second, which I think might highlight the point that you're trying to make. The Briska Rav had a slightly different, well, not slightly, a very different take on this sugya. And the Briska Rav on the Gemara there in Nazir, the Briska Rav says that he thinks the mechayev here is not the machshava. He thinks the mechayev is actually the maisa avera that you did. The maisa that you did. Now, what do you mean? It wasn't a maisa avera, though. I thought I was eating pig, but I really ended up eating basar tzweh. So he says as follows. He says that there are two dinim, as you would imagine, in every sin that a person does. There's the actual avera, the intrinsic evil act that the Torah says is a bad thing to do. But then there's also a maisa of merida. Meaning when you stick a piece of non-kosher meat in your mouth, you're actually doing two things. You're doing a maisa of rebellion against God, and you're eating something that the Torah calls machalos asuros. So the Briska Rav says that in a situation where you're niskaving lech al basar chazir, you're doing a maisa of merida. You are taking a piece of meat that you think is usher, and you are sticking it in your mouth. That is an act of rebellion against God. It happens to be that you're not eating machalos asuros. Says the Briska Rav that the punishments that we generally have in halacha are much more related to the maisa merida than they are to the actual avera itself that was done. And he brings a raya from the Shita of Rava by E. Ovid Lomahani. We know the Gemara in Tzemura tells us on Daf Talit, it goes on to Daf Hey, the Gemara there has a discussion. If the Torah tells you not to do something, and then you do it, is it chal? Now there are lots of possibilities we would think, we can, lots of examples, but a lot of the examples are brought up by the Gemara, and then say, oh, that's an exception, that's an exception, that's an exception, that's an exception. One of the Gemara's cases that's discussed is, let's say, there's a halacha that when you take off trumos and maestros, you're not supposed to take from one min on another min. So let's say you do it. You were over the Isser, and you took from one min on another. So is the truma chal, or is the truma not chal? So if you look at the Lashon of the Gemara, listen to the Lashon of the Gemara. Now that I gave you that little introduction about maisa merida, an act of rebellion versus the maisa itself, look at the Lashon of the Gemara. I think I put it, I put it on the source sheet. Amar Abaye. Kol milsa damar achmana lo savin. Whenever the Gemara tells you, whenever the halacha tells you not to do something. Im ovid, mahani. If you do it, it works. Why? Disal kadaitach lo mahani. Because if you think it doesn't work, am I lucky? What are you getting malchus for? You didn't do anything wrong. The context here is tamura. Tamura is a funny iser. Tamura means you're a makdish animal A, and you want to transfer the kedusha from animal A to animal B. But it doesn't work. And what ends up happening is that now both animals are kadosh. So there's a little bit of a question in lambdas. What does that mean? Does it mean that you were able to transfer the animal from A to B, but now there's a kanas on A, and it remains kadosh, but you were successful in transferring it? Or you were not successful in transferring it, but they put a kanas onto animal B? But whatever it might be, it launches into a Gemara about this principle of Koman Damar Rahman Lo Savit. If you ought not to do, if you do it, is it Mahani? So Abaye says it must be Mahani. Because if not, what are you getting Malchus for? You didn't do anything. Abaye sounds like, what's the Chiyav on? What's the Machayev? The Maisa Aveira. Comes along Rav, and what does Rav say? Rav Amar, no. Everything Hashem tells us not to do, if we do it, it's not Chal. Oh, so why am I getting Malchus? Mishum de'over amemra derachmana. What am I getting Malchus for? What does that mean? Mishum de'over amemra derabana. What does that mean? Mishum de'over amemra derabana. Derachmana. Because you were over on the word of God. It sounds like Rav is saying, where does the chiyuv of Malchus come? Not from the maisa that you did, but from the maisa of merida. Not from the maisa you did. Not from the chetz of avera shebo. Not because you ate machalos asuros, but because you did a rebellious act by putting machalos asuros into your mouth. According to this, the Briska Rav suggests, when you have a machshava ra and you act on it, you know what's mechayev you? It's not the machshava ra. Gemara in Kiddushin. We're not on Lamates. Kadosh Baruch Hu doesn't punish for intentions. So then what's the chiyah for? Because you did a maisa merida. When you put that piece of baser tileh in your mouth, thinking it was baser chazir, you did an act of rebellion against the Kadosh Baruch Hu. And you really should be chayiv. Even chayiv malchus for what you did. Comes along the Torah and says, Hashem yisbachla. Hashem will deal with you. We're not going to give you malchus for it. We don't give malchus when there's only a maisa merida. So just to clarify the difference here. When someone eats baser tileh, but he thinks he was eating baser chazir, what's the mechayiv? According to the Truma Sakri, what's the mechayiv? What's the mechayiv? The Truma Sakri, the first, the machshava. Machshavas are punished. According to the Briska Rav, what's the mechayiv? The fact that you did a maisa merida. Because you did a maisa. What's a nafka mina between them? It might be what you brought up before. Let's say, I think it's a nafka mina. You tell me what you think. What happens if I have a machshava ra, I plan, I get in my car to do the maisa ra, I go and I get in my car to do the maisa ra and I get a flat tire. And I lose my opportunity. What would you say? Are you chayiv or not? I got up. I didn't just think about it. I was just ruminating in my room in a hut in a forest in Oregon, like planning to blow up a building. I actually got in the car. I got everything ready, and I was on my way. And there was an onus. I got a flat tire. What would you say? So if you're the Truma Sakri, I think you would say that you're chayiv. You had a machshava, and the machshava was so bad and so real, it brought you to action. Oh, but I didn't actually do anything yet, but that's just because of an onus. That's like you were saying. But according to the Briska Rav, I never did a maisa merida. We're not mechayev people on machshavos. We're only mechayev people on maisim. So it doesn't have to be a maisa that's intrinsically an iser. It's enough if it's just a maisa merida. But I never did a maisa merida. I was nanas. So maybe there's nothing to mechayev me. According to the what's the time here? 23. Okay. According to there's another major difference I think that emerges from the Truma Sakri versus the Briska Rav, and it's almost, you know, I'm so biased by the Rashi, it's hard to say it in the Rambam, but it sounds like it's what's coming out according to the Rambam. How do you interpret these words, Hashem Yislach Lo? How do you interpret those words? Right? Remember, the Pasuk said, if she thinks she's a Nazir and she drinks wine, but she really wasn't a Nazir, Hashem will yislach lo. So the Pasha way to explain that is, Hashem yislach lo, Hashem will give her slicha, meaning she needs slicha. And kapara, that's what the Gemara said, she needs kapara. The Chiddush, it sounds like from the Pasuk, is, you would have thought she's not chayiv, because she didn't do anything. Kamash Malon, there is culpability here. Why is there culpability? Because the machshavara, that's how the Truma Sakri reads it, and that seems to be the pashtus of Chazal. I would have thought she's not chayiv. The Pasuk says Hashem yislach lo, and as Rashi says, we learn from here that she's tzricha v'kapara. But according to the Griz, according to the Briska Rav, to think about it, what's going on here? Really, she did an action of merida because she acted. Thinking that she was rebelling. Really, she should be chayiv. Comes along the pasuk and says, what's the chiddush of the pasuk? That she's not chayiv. Hashem yislach lo, I would interpret it, according to the Briska Rav, is, don't worry, God will deal with her. Now, that's not exactly what it means, or what Chazal say. It would be hard to say it, but look at the Rambam. Briska, the Rambam always works out. Look what the Rambam says. If you read the Rambam now, it's strange. Look what the Rambam says. Nodra, Hilchos Nedarim. Behefir laha'aval abal, behilo yada, shehefir. And she's Avra al Nedra, our case. Harezo Ptura, she's Pater. The Abal Pishna Stavin Lesser. And even though she had Kavanah to do an Isser, Ho'il Benasas Ahether, because since she Lamaisa did a Heter action, she's Ptura. The Alven Namar, Fashem Yisbach Lo. What's the Rambam quoting the Pasuk for? He's quoting the Pasuk to tell me why she's Pater. According to the
Mishpat Zachri, the Pasuk of Hashem Yisrach Lo, is telling me why she's Chayiv. According to the Briska Rav, and it sounds like that in the Rambam, the Pasuk of Hashem Yisrach Lo is telling me why she's Pater. Why she's Pater from Malkus. So the Truma Zachri and the Briska Rav, and maybe the Rambam, are literally coming from the opposite sides in the Sugya. Okay, that was the Lomdus. Let's put the Lomdus aside for a second. Lamais, at the end of the day, we have on the books a halacha. And the halacha is, it's very catchy, the halacha is, Niskavin lecho baser chazir, ve'ochal baser tleh, yuchayich. That's the name of the Isser. It's having a machshava roh. Whatever the Lomdus is it like the Truma Sakri, is it like, let's put all that aside for a second. And just halacha lemaisa, this is a real iser. This is a real halacha, that if a person has in mind to do an aveira, even if they don't actually do the aveira, still a problem. Where does this come up? There's two very fascinating tshuvas from Shlomo Zalman Orbach in regards to lifnei iver. The first is a very interesting case of a person who has a maid who they have a chashash that she's stealing. So, this is like nowadays, this is like not such a big fetish, because everybody has like their nanny cams and everything, but when the tshuva was written, I don't think that they had that. So, what did the person want to do? He decided he was going to leave some money in his house in a way that it's not obvious that it's being left out. It's a little tucked away, but it's enough money that the maid will think she can get away with it. It's to test the maid to see if she's going to steal it. So he asks Shlomo Zalman if it's okay. Shlomo Zalman says, no, it's lifnei iver for stealing. It's a Jewish maid. Lifnei iver for stealing. I mean, the goyim also, the stealing, it's one of the things I've been saying, lifnei iver by a goy also, iver menachai, but let's just say, assume it was a Jew. So he puts out the money, and he wants to trick or test the maid. So Shlomo Zalman says, it's not okay, it's lifnei iver. So the Baal HaBos was a Talmid Chacham, so he said, well, no, I'm going to be maskir the money. Or I'm going to be makne it to her. I'm going to get someone, we're going to do a chalipin, zochen adam shop. We're going to do a kinyan, I'm going to be makna her the money. So she's not stealing. Says Rosh Shlomo Zalman, it's still usher. Why? It's lifnei iver on the iser of miskavin lecho baser chazir, v'alo biyado baser tleh. She doesn't know that you are makna it to her. So she thinks she's doing an iser when she takes it. So that's lifnei iver, you can't do that. But she's not doing the iser of stealing, I know, but she's doing the iser of miskavin lecho baser chazir, v'alo biyado baser tleh. And the truth is, Shlomo Zalman has an amazing raya for it. It's a Gemara in Kiddushin. The Gemara in Kiddushin wants to know, Ad Heichon, the Chiyuv of Kibud Av V'Aim. So it says, even if your father comes and rips up your silk jacket that you love to wear, even in that situation, you can't get angry at your father. So the Gemara tells us that there was one of the Amorayim, I believe it was, one of the Amorayim, Rabba Bar Rav Huna, that wanted to test his son, so he wanted to rip up the beged to see if his son would get angry. The Gemara says you can't do that, because if you end up causing him to be angry, so it's lifnei iver. So the Gemara says, d'mochale, he was mochal on his kavod, the father. The father wanted to do something to get the son angry, to see if the son was holding by the mitzvah kibud av v'aim. But there's a possibility that the son might actually get angry and yell at the father and be over on the mitzvah kibud av v'aim. So no, it's okay. Before, he was mochal on his kavod. That's the end of the Gemara. Asks Tosfos, wait a second. What do you think Tosfos asks? What about Machshava Ra? So Tosfos took this so seriously. Listen to Tosfos' answer. I mean, unless I'm misreading the Tosfos. Tosfos' answer is, you're right. It's a Machshava Ra. It's the favor on a Machshava Ra. So it must be that he told his son beforehand that he was being mochel on his kavod. So that Tosfos just sort of ruined the whole Gemara. The whole point of the Gemara is that you're testing your son to see if he's going to get angry. What kind of test is it if you tell him, by the way, I just want to let you know, if anything happens in the next 20 minutes, I'm completely mochel on my kavod. And now you rip up the shirt and you're going to test to see if he gets angry. It's funny. Okay, I don't know, maybe you'll say he did this general mechila on his kavod and the son wouldn't have realized. Lamaisa, whatever it was, you see that Tosfos is taking this very, very seriously. The other shiloh that was asked for Shlomo Zalman is someone, for whatever work purposes, he had to be alone with a woman, and there was a problem of an iser of yichud. However, he knew that the woman's husband was in town, but she didn't know. But he knew that the woman's husband was in town. So there are halachos about a shomer, if the baal be'ir, so she's scared, her husband can walk in at any minute. So if I know that her husband is in town, but she doesn't know, is it okay to be in Yichud with her? And her Shlomo Zalman, right, you could just tell her, I know, but this is the Shaila. So the Shaila was that it's still going to be a problem unless you tell her. Maybe she's deaf, maybe he's mute, I don't know. There's still a Shaila because she doesn't know that her husband's in town, and it's Niskavim Lechol Basar Chazir, Bi'ol Bi'odol Basar Tzaleh. I'm going to end with a question. We're not going to answer it, but just an interesting question from an Orach Chaim, and we'll end with this. The Pasuk tells us at the end of Sefer Bereishis, Yosef is speaking to his brothers, and he's trying to calm them down. Don't worry, you didn't do anything bad to me. We'll get over it. I still love you. We're going to work this out. The Atem Chashavtem Alai Ra, but Hashem was Chashva L'Tova. You tried to do bad. You threw me in the pit. You tried to sell me. You tried to kill me, sell me, but Hashem works things out, and Hashem was looking after me, so don't worry about it. You wanted to do bad, or Hashem wanted to do good? What's pshat? You wanted to do bad. So look what the Orach Chaim says. Hareze doma lemiskaven lahashkos chavero kos mavas. This is similar to a person who tries to poison his friend. But on accident, hishkeyu kos yayin, and instead of giving him the poison, he gives him a regular glass of wine. She'eno mischayef klum. Says the Orach Chaim, the brothers, even though they had kavanah ra to harm Yosef, it's okay because they ended up not harming him. That would be good for me. He became, you know, the viceroy, and he ended up being Ola Legedula. So you might have had bad intentions, but it's okay because you didn't do anything wrong. And says the Orach Chaim, yeah, it's like trying to poison someone, but accidentally giving him a coke instead, and therefore you didn't do anything wrong, and you're patur b'dinei adam, you're patur b'dinei shamayim. So, when you read the Orach Chaim, what's the first thing that comes to your mind? What happened to our Sugyav? Niskavin lach obasar chazir, v'olo biyado obasar tleh. So, I'll leave that as a question. If you want to take a look at the Kli Chemda, he's got a long arichas, tries to figure out what's going on here. But, l'halacha l'maisa, what we basically saw is we saw two, what seemed to be a stira in Gemara's, we saw a discussion by Nasir in this week's Parsha, Hashem Yisbachla, that if you have bad kavanas, they are actionable, they are punishable. We saw a Gemara in Kiddushin that says the Kodesh Baruch Hu is not mitzar for lemaisa. We suggested some ways to work out that stira. We tried to give some lomdas to explain what is the mechayev. Is the mechayev the maisa, or is the mechayev actually the machshava? And there are types of machshava that are punishable. We tried to suggest a nafkamina. We also tried to suggest how, based on how you learn, you're going to read the pasuk and the chiddush of Hashem Yislach law differently. Is it a mechayev or is it a ptur? From Malkus. And then we saw some halacha lemaisa that we have something we have to be important about. And certainly, as I'm going to be leaving probably tomorrow night or early Friday morning, but it's been a real schus to be able to spend some time with you guys and to learn with you and to see you guys learning. Certainly, the message I would want to end with from this sugya is Rahman Ali Baboy, that whether it's actionable, whether it's chiyah, whether it's the maisa, what's clear is that machshavos are important. You know, there's a big misconception that it was really promulgated by certain leaders of the conservative movement that Judaism doesn't really care about what you think. All it cares about is what you do. And that's not true. There might be times when we put greater significance on what you do than on what you think. And you have to have kavanah latzeis. You don't have to have all the kavanahs. But certainly what we think and what our intentions are is certainly important. And there's no greater compliment than to be called an Er L'Chayid. And an Er L'Chayid is a person who has good kavanas, he tries to do what's right, he tries as best as he can to do the Ratzon Hashem, and that's certainly, I think, important, a very important message that we learned from this sugya.